podcast is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this date, April 29, 2026. All right, hit it. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut the Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. No clapping? All right, no clapping. All right, we're at episode 336, and where today I'll be talking about the intersection between being a peacemaker and self-sacrificing. So tune in. But before we do that, Before we do that, we will do some quotable and some randomness. Right. Before I say anything, I want to remind you, quick disclaimer, that today's episode is also rated R and F. F is for fuck whitey. Listener discretion is advised. All right. Yeah, let's start with quotable. First one is, I'm going to recite this just because it makes me feel good. I just like reciting it. That's why it's a quotable, but it goes, it ain't easy being me. Will I see the penitentiary or will I stay free? It ain't easy being me. Will I see the penitentiary or will I stay free? In my case, likely, will I lose my sanity or will I be free? I can't sleep, niggas plotting on me. Kill me while I'm dreaming. Wake up sweaty and screaming because I can hear the suckers scheming. Probably paranoid. Problem is them punks be fantasizing. A brother bite the bullet, open fire, and I died. I wonder why. It's just the way it is, even now. Looking out for them killer kids because they wild. Bill Clinton, can you recognize a nigga representing doing 20 to life in San Quentin, getting calls for my niggas Mike Tyson, Ain't nothing nice. Yo, Pac, do something righteous with your life. Or in my case, hey, Gaston, do something righteous with your life. And even though you're innocent, you're still a nigga. So they figure rather have you behind bars and triggers. All right, okay, I'll stop. All right, it's a ritual, all right? I just like reciting it. Pac's lyric. And next quotable, I put say a little seriousness. It goes, too much, too little, too loud, too quiet, too different. Not a description and instructions to shrink.
Message.
All right, that's it for quotables. Let's do some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Right. A bit of random thinking. All right. So as you notice, I'm trying. I'm doing two new things here right now. A, if you notice, I have a new intro. I went for a shorter intro, and I giving it a shot. And I was so excited to try this out. I came straight from work, and I'm wearing my work clothes. I'm doing this podcast in my work clothes. I'm not a construction worker, but I'm wearing outside clothes. I'm wearing my geeky, nerdy clothes. Like, you can't tell, but I'm recording myself. I'll probably publish this one. But usually I wear a hoodie when I'm at home. I don't wear pajamas. What am I, a kid? Anyways, no disrespect to all y'all who wear pajamas. But yeah, I wear a little hoodie outfit set. And I'm trying something new, man. I wanted to keep the mindset from work and from here. And bitch, right? And yeah, like I said, I'm trying this new shorter intro. I'm calling it the raw dog version of my intro. And part of it is because I guess the here's the thing, gang. The other intro, I still like it. I still believe in value. But if I was a listener, I'd probably be like, yo, what the fuck, man? Get to the goddamn point. Get to the fucking episode. And the reason I was stuck with the other, like, I'm not sure if I'm going to delete it. It depends how I feel when I edit this today's episode. But you have to understand, it's kind of like, for those of you, if you've ever written a speech, I don't know how you write speeches, but me, when I have a speech idea, I'm usually performing the speech in my head, and I'm thinking of really clever lines and whatnot. And then when I go to write the speech or prepare the speech or whatever and think about the core idea and all that stuff, and then realize that the really clever line or clever joke I wanted to say in my speech no longer fits into this hashed out version of my speech. And I get stuck. Like, sometimes I get obsessed with it. I get obsessed with that line, even though it doesn't fit in. And I try to get it to work, and then I give up on writing the speech or performing it. The point is, that's what my intro is like. That intro, it just felt so clever, but I knew, to me it's clever, but I knew as a listener, I'd be like, fuck, this shit is long. And it's also when I went to edit it, I'm like, yeah, man, this goddamn thing is a little too long, B. So all this to say, I'm trying something new, and this is what, trying new things is what keeps this podcast interesting, at least for me. So yeah, hope you like the raw dog version of my intro. I'm not sure if I'm going to do the same for the outro, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Yeah. For this one, no comments. No comments. No comments. Here it goes.
The so-called manifesto is a stunning thing to read, Mr. President. He appears to reference a motive in it. He writes this, quote, administration officials, they are targets. And he also wrote this, I am no longer willing to permit a pedophile, rapist, and traitor to coat my hands with his crimes. What's your reaction
to that?
Well,
I was waiting for you to read that because I knew you would, because you're horrible people, horrible people. Yeah, he did write that. I'm not a rapist. I didn't rape anybody.
Do you think he was referring to you?
Excuse me.
Links will be in the show notes, assuming I remember to put it. But yes, that was the voice of the President of the United States needing to affirm that he's not a pedophile or a rapist. I'm not sure if he said rapist, but a pedophile. Yeah. President of the United States has to affirm, has to let you know, hey, I am the king. Anyone who's got to say they're a king. I don't know. I think when I'm trying to imagine being in the point of my life where I have to say, hey, man, I am not a rapist. I mean, I guess if I was, I guess it'd be an unfortunate situation to be in where I have to clarify. It's like, hey, I like a legal age over. Excuse me. I can't take it seriously. The world we live in, gang. I'm thinking of everyone's been making on social. Everyone on social media has been making that comparison about Tricky Nixon. What's the word they use for him? Nixon. What's his first name? Whatever. Fucking the other president, right? Who said I am not a crook. Turns out he's a crook. Look, I did say no comments, but shout out to, what's her name? O'Donnell. The reporter's name, O'Donnell. Let me get her full name because she deserves the credit. She deserves to get acknowledged because I want to see more clips of Nora O'Donnell. Yes, I enjoy watching clips of Trump being outsmarted, especially by a woman. Especially a female reporter. Because you know Trump is not used to being around women who are smarter than him. It's like, what the fuck? Bitch! If they are smarter than him, he pays them to dumb it down. It's like, yeah, come on, man. Don't make me look stupid. Which is very easy. Which is very common for you females. He doesn't talk like that. But, you know, I'm just saying. Look, all right. I'm going to, like I said, no comments. The two things, the only jokes I was going to make is one is the manifesto. She read a piece of the manifesto, and I was thinking about Black Guy Who Tips. There's an episode he talks. He talks about it, or he says something about manifestos, and I was just thinking about how the first episode of this podcast, the first episode of this edition of this podcast, reiteration of this podcast, because I had to resurrect the podcast, and I've been calling it the Second Testament, the Next Testament, whatever. And I call it the Manifesto episode. The title is straight out of, the title was Straight Out of Therapy, but it was my Manifesto episode, in that it was a manifesto, and it was my way of launching the podcast. So some people write manifestos and mass shooters. Me, I write a manifesto. I record a manifesto and put out some podcast episodes. I feel clever. Anyway, so yeah, that's that. And what's the other note that I had about it is, here's a thought. What would you say, take away before I go, what would you say, I've been reflecting on this, right? But out of everything you hate about Trump, what would you say is number one? I think the fact that he's the living example of white supremacy. He's like white supremacy. He's like, what they say? They say, if Jesus is like the personification of God, Trump is the personified white. Trump is white Jesus. He's the personification of white supremacy. I think I'll be at the core of my hatred for this man.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. This one I just snuck into the for randomness, and it's about because it pissed me off. Anytime something like gets my attention enough to annoy me and get me thinking, which is kind of easy to do, but when it gets my attention for a while, I like to just bring it out, make it an episode or make it part of my randomness. And it's in the Free Folk subreddit, and it's Free Folk is a subreddit, wide open, lightly subreddit, to talk about anything related to G.R.R. Martin's Game of Thrones. And it's Steve Toussaint, the guy who plays Corlys Velaryon on House of Dragon, Black Representation in the Backlash. And he quotes, they're happy with dragon flying. They've been happy with, they're happy with a dragon flying. They're happy with a white hair and violet colored eyes, but a rich black guy, that's beyond the pale. Like you said, pale. And then he goes, and someone says, is this a fair comparison? And then the caption for this post is, thoughts on this. And I'm like, what the fuck is there to think about? You either have an imagination or you don't. I think for me, it's more the idea of how white people's comfort zone is to imagine a world where they are the star and the rest of us are like side characters. And the idea that to imagine a black person in their world or a person who isn't white is like pulling them out of their comfort zone. And I bring this up because I posted a similar comment about what the fuck is there to think about, and someone replied with, instead, because I really like invested in those words, and they came back with basically rationalizing their inability to imagine a world where they're not the only people in there, especially in a world of fantasy. It's like, oh, yo, what the fuck? What's next? You gonna make me imagine a black man with a white woman? Yeah. Yeah.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
I gotta, part of the reason I've had that soundbite is because it's to force myself to not over-explain or not talk too much in this randomness, whatever. But yeah, randomness are meant to be short. Okay, last topic. I labeled this one, forgetting you're not like them. I keep forgetting that I am, what's that saying in the Bible? When I was a child, I thought like a child. What is it? I thought like it, acted like it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But now that I became an adult, I did grown folk shit. And I keep forgetting that I ain't trying to be the little boy like these other fellas. I keep forgetting that. And the two occasions where this happened, where I forget that I'm trying to be mature, I'm trying to be enlightened. I now have a more enlightened view of the world, the way I saw the world, more importantly, the way I perceived women is different from the way I do it now. I'm trying to be more mature about this shit. I've read the book. I read the book by Bell Hooks, Feminism is for Everyone. Is that the title? Shit like that. But yes, I'm trying to get away from this. Yeah, and sometimes they try to pull me back in. The two occasions where it happened is someone posted, or what came on my timeline, someone said some along the lines of how, is it just me or do you have a crush on Christina Koch? Christina Koch, she is one of the astronauts who was part of the Artemis mission, the recent Artemis mission. And I think it was their way, his way of flattering her, of saying that, yo, here's what bothered me about, look, if you want to have a crush on her, so be it, good for you. But it's more the idea, I feel like, men, we have an inability of just respecting, giving a woman respect, giving her flowers, and just giving her flowers, giving them respect, just respecting them like you would, I don't know, a pro athlete, whatever the fuck, man. It's like respecting them without the need to want to stick your dick in them. You know what I mean? Anyways, I remember I replied to the comment, and I was just being honest. I guess, again, this is one moment of I'm forgetting I'm not like them, and then I just said something like, what did I say? Oh, I said, for me, it's more of a respect. And I wasn't trying to preach. That's the funny part. I said, for me, it's more of a respect thing. Like, I was trying to say, I just have mad respect for this person, for her accomplishment. And I said, yeah, I said, for me, it's more of a respect thing, to the point that initially I was going to say, like, if she was in a bar, I'd be like, lady, you are forbidden for paying for any drinks. You know, that's how you express respect. But instead, I went to a next level. I said, yo, if I was in a bar and some dude was bothering her, I'd step in. And I feel like I wouldn't be alone and be like, is there a problem? Is this motherfucker bothering you? Like, that's, I mean, you should do that for anyone. But it's just like, dude, move out the fucking way. It's like, you know what? Bother me. Like, respect. How do you express respect to someone else? Do you know what I mean? Like, if it was a dude that's like, is this motherfucker bothering you? I got your back. Okay, where I'm going with this is, motherfucker replied to my comment with, laughing my ass off. Okay, bro. And I'm not sure, again, I don't know the person who wrote it, the intention, but the way I read it was, I felt like, oh, you think you're better than us. What's important is I was shook when I saw that comment. And a part of me was, oh, shit, I upset the tribe. A part of me read that and said, oh, I look like a douchebag. I sound like a douchebag. Or I'm like that guy who's like, I'm better than you fellas. I'm not trying to fuck her. I have respect for women. Like I see how old me would have perceived that comment. And it bothered me. That reply bothered me until I realized, I remembered that, man, fuck that. I ain't trying to be like them. Yeah, sometimes you're going to say some unpopular shit. To them, it's going to sound like, I think the word they use is virtual singling. And the truth is, I was trying to say, I respect the woman. I don't want to stick my dick in her. Like, I didn't want to go into the path. I'm not trying to say she's not attractive or whatever. I'm trying to say, fist bump. She gets props. She's good in my hood. She can work. You know, it's like, you know, okay, all this came from, okay, I realize randomness, just because I've been a final thought. But I'm realizing all this came from, I remember a while back, I was slowly being more enlightened about my own chauvinism, my own, like, the effects of patriarchy, sexism in my mind, like my unchecked sexism. I remember having a conversation with a friend, And we found ourselves asking the question, what woman do you respect? How do I say that? And she's not a porn star, or she's not like an entertainer, or she's not stereotypical. We found ourselves asking this question and realizing that, holy shit, we can tell you all the men we have respect for, but we didn't have a list of women we respected, and not because they got naked, or not because, not because you're trying to bang them. See, I realize it's a problem because I know for guys, a hetero woman can have respect for a man, but not want to fuck them. I want to be your friend. To them, it's, oh shit, this bitch got me in the friend zone. You see what I'm saying? I felt like, the post was removed, but I felt like clarifying. It's like, yo, when you say you have a crush on this person, are you saying you're trying to bang her? Or is it your way of saying, I have respect for this woman? But still, I mean, for another guy, you wouldn't say, yo, I have a crush on The Rock. You'd say, man, I'm a fan of this dude. You know what I mean? It's like, you understand the complexity. Okay, again, I got to remind myself that I'm talking to someone who understands what the fuck I'm trying to say. Again, because this is what this podcast is all about. I'm trying to say shit to fellas, especially fellas, well, to people in general, but fellas, and be like, I know what you're talking about. Write in. I would love to hear back to get your not you fucking haters, but I want men who are enlightened, who realize that, yeah, man, it's like, what women you respect. I mean, for me, it's easy. Harriet Tubman. You know what I mean? Like Betty Shabazz, Martin Luther King's wife, all our heroes, Angela Davis, shit. Oh my God, there's so many names that, shame on me from not remembering. The black women who were involved in the Haitian Revolution. I read a book about I'm not showing off that I read a book, but Toussaint Louverture, and he talked about how there was a part where he says, yeah, man, the women were way more gangster than the fellas when it came to the Haitian Revolution. They were on that, man, fuck peace. Motherfuckers gotta die. Everyone dies. All these crackers need to die. I'm not saying they were unreasonable, but they were the ones who you needed to be like, fuck a peace treaty, motherfuckers gotta die. Fellas were like, whoa, what about the white women? Hold on a second, hold on, we can't kill all of them. Hold on, let's talk about this, ladies. Nah, fuck that. All them niggas die. Gangster, all right.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Yeah, I should have a timer. Oh, I meant to say that, yeah, that little interaction I had with that dude, it reminded me, I hate men. I hate the fellas, man. I hate men. But aren't you a man? Yeah. Not all men, but yeah, but I hate the idea of masculinity. Fuck y'all, man. Aw, man. That's low. All right, okay, that's it. This concludes all my random quotables and randomness. We can jump to final say, the final thought, the feature thought. The last part of this goddamn podcast. But before we do that, I'm going to take a quick break. All right. Okay. I need to label my sound effects. Hold on. What's this for?
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch.
All right. I remember. Yeah. Okay. I need to. Whatever. I'm laughing at myself. Anyways. Je rigole. I'm not crazy. Or maybe I am, but, you know. Do you guys think when you go crazy, I know crazy is not the appropriate word, but, like, are you aware that you're crazy? Or to you, I'm just, like, everything is normal. Like, one day you're, like, cuckoo for Cocoa Puff, but it's, like, breathing to you. All I know, and I forgot to say this when I was talking about the manifesto, the dude, the I'm going to go with the stage, but whatever. The attempt at the shooting at the correspondent dinner. Sometimes I wonder, and maybe this is the part that makes me crazy, but sometimes I wonder, maybe we're the same people and he's the normal one for snapping. Because, you know, what the fuck? We're letting a rapist run shit. And no one's doing anything about it. Like, history's going to look back and say, you fucking, what was that about? How y'all let that slide? And all I can say is, look, I was just trying to keep my job. I was trying to stay safe. I ain't no hero. All right, off topic. All right, okay. All right, final say. Did I mention I just got off work? So my stomach is finally, I'm starting to growl here. But we're out there. All right, okay. We're nearly done here. Yeah, like I mentioned, I wanted to talk about the intersection between peacemaker and self-sacrificing. And here's where I'm going with this. Last week, I felt like being a peacemaker, my need to be a peacemaker is a running theme, was a theme of last week. And I remember I brought this up with my therapist, right? And here's the thing, right? Again, on this podcast, I preach about the shit that I practice, that I do well. I'm not giving you advice, but I can talk about, it could be a habit considered bad, but I can talk about that habit. I like to expose it to the light. And in this particular case is my need to be a peacemaker. And today actually hit me. I'll give you an example of what I mean by peacemaker. It's, talking about it, bring it to life. Today I went into the office. That's why I'm wearing my work. That's what I mean by work clothes. I went into the office, went into the office to work, and our floors. So we got this hoteling system where you bring in your laptop, you plug it into the docking system, the docker station, and boom, that's your desk, right? But in the office, you're surrounded by people that you don't work with from other departments. Anyways, so my floor is broken down to, it's got three sections. It's got a interactive section. I think there's like a hybrid in transition section and a quiet section, right? So the interactive is for the people who want to like brainstorm together, work as a team, figure shit out. Think of Wall Street, the typical Wall Street, you know, loud. It's like loud. Rah, 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 sell, sell, sell. You know what I mean? Like you're at your desk yelling your fucking ass off and whatever, right? And in transitional is more, a bit more quiet. You can talk, but it's a bit more quiet. And then there's the quiet section. Quiet section is more like a library. You can talk, but keep it fucking down. Keep it down, right? Anyways, in this particular day, there was a motherfucker. I was just coming in, and there was a motherfucker talking like he was talking loud. He was in the quiet section. He was sitting in front of the fucking sign that said quiet section, and homeboy, I don't know if he was aware, but the decibel level was like way high. Like, you're not in a library. Think of being in a library and motherfuckers talking like he's on a bus. Yo! Or he's in a club. What's up? What's up, bitch? Can I get your number? Well, fuck you, huh? Or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, he's that loud. And when I was talking to him, because he was in a meeting or probably on a phone call. He had his headphones on, and the decibel levels were high. And I'm coming in, and I'm pissed off. Like, I wanted to fight. I can't fight. I don't fight, guys. I'm not a fighting type. But I was annoyed. I remember being angry. I remember my mind saying, man, you better say something. Man, I'm going to say something. I remember the back of my mind was like, oh, no, not today, Satan. And right when I was getting ready to like act a fool, boom, my need to be the peacemaker kicks in. And then it's likely from past trauma, whatever. But my need to be a peacemaker kicks in that it's like, if you do that, you're risking a confrontation. You're risking conflict. For all I know, this dude may not be aware that he was speaking at a loud volume. But I wanted to say, bro, I was trying to figure out how to be I'm from passive aggressive to fucking aggressive. Be like, motherfucker, do you not see the sign? Like, how would Tony Soprano, how would Bishop from Juice handle that situation? You motherfucker not see the sign? But said it was all, I'm sure I was giving him some passive aggressive look because I'm from 613 Ottawa. And I was very likely giving some passive aggressive, looking around, say, you motherfuckers don't hear, you're not bothered by this guy. I'm sure I was doing that, but I remember when it came time to actually speak, I was blocked. All I could think about, conflict. You're risking a conflict. I don't like conflict. Again, from Ottawa. But that was an example of the need to be a peacemaker. So what I ended up doing was nothing. Let it slide. Sat down. I'm like, yo, he does it again. I'm going to say something. But instead, my need to be a peacemaker kicked in. So I said, you mean you were a pushover? Oh, you mean you let it, you were being passive? Yeah. But you say what you call passive, I call it being a peacemaker. Again, preaching what I practice. I am not giving you advices. I am not telling you what to do. I'm not giving you solutions. I am looking at a problem. I'm looking at a behavior that I don't like. And before I can change it, I'm trying to understand why the fuck I do that. Instead of like beating myself up for not saying anything, I'm reflecting on the fact that in that moment, I was telling myself I was being a peacemaker. And a more important example, actual example is I remember a relative, actually an aunt. This was a long time ago. Wanted me to lend her money that I knew if it was anyone else, I wouldn't have done it because I couldn't afford to lose it. Like, I have this policy. I think a lot of us mature adults have this policy that you only lend out money that you're willing to lose. So then when they don't pay you back, because they don't pay you back, you're not going to take it personal. You're not going to take it personally. So I remember having this policy and sticking to it. But this was a relative asking me this question. When I want to be careful when I say relative, I don't mean like how you got to look out for relative. I mean, this was a parental figure. This was someone who was involved, who took care of me as a kid, who babysat me, who was an authority figure, who still had that authority figure. I wasn't an adult. And she was like, lend me this money. Now, I'm not saying it was Jedi mind trick, but it was, I was a grown up being told by an elder, lend me this money. And I still remember in that moment, there was something about her tone in her voice. I just wanted to be a peacemaker in that moment. I didn't want any trouble. And I remember giving in. Now, here's the problem. To most people, it's like, whatever, man. Oh, it's kind of funny. Whatever. You're an adult. But to me, it was more that feeling of my inability. Like, I had no choice but to say yes. I hated that. I felt like, essentially, the same strategy you would have used on me as a kid, I allowed you to use it on me as an adult. Now, I am not going to talk about her problems or her reasoning, but for me, that was an epic fail. It's an idea of, it's one thing for a complete stranger to do it to me, but I could work with that. But when a family member is like pressing your buttons, when you feel like you can't say no, I felt like I remember the fear. See what happens to you if you say no. I remember that fear. Even though I had a choice to say no, I had an option. But in that moment, I felt like I couldn't do it. It felt like a manipulation thing that bothered me. But again, at the core of it was my need to be a peacemaker. So where I'm going with all this is where I brought up the intersection is the need to be a peacemaker combined with so you're not really being a peacemaker, at least that's what I thought, when you're self-sacrificing. That's what I mean by intersection between them. And the at the intersection of being wanting to be a peacemaker and to the point of self-sacrificing, when I put those two together, I'm realizing to me, that's the death of love. I've heard people, I think it was Kanye who probably said like monogamy is the death of love or some shit like that. Or people say like that. No, for me, it's the need to be a peacemaker and your willingness to self-sacrifice. That's the reason why I say I hate love. Now, I can't say love is responsible for me to do that, but I'm saying until I can get rid of that need and the willingness to self-sacrifice, love don't live here no more. That's what would prevent me from being a loving partner. Now, there are people who love, who aren't looking to be in a relationship. There are people who would choose, if they could choose between love and control, they would take control. Now, there are people who get into relationships, not for love, but for the reason for control. And that, a person who wants to control you, if they hook up with someone willing to be wanting, who have a need to be a peacemaker and willing to sacrifice, that's a perfect combination. Anyways, the reason I brought this up is because something that's been happening at work, and I kept noticing. Essentially, I was allowing someone, I'm not going to use the word bully, but I kept being shook around them. And at the core of why I was behaving that way, I realized it was the need to be a peacemaker. Again, I'm not giving you solutions to a problem. I'm just talking about a problem in a way that will likely possibly get me closer to a solution. I needed to get it out of my system. Again, I was reflecting on that. It's one of those things that, reflecting on that, and I just needed to give it some light. Whether it leads to solutions, to be continued. Yeah, to be continued. All right. Okay. All right. So, and this is how I wrap up today's episode. I'm going to end here and say this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. let's jump to the point. I'm just going to say website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. I want to quickly remind you, if you do plan on writing in, I need you to remember everything that I said, whether you loved it, liked it, or didn't like it, or whatever. I need you to remember it. It's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. Right. Okay. And thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. I'm black, y'all.
I am your king now!